What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we're talking about loving stubborn people. Yes, I know you may have heard of a stubborn person. Maybe there's even a dream that you had of a stubborn person, but maybe, just maybe, you actually have a stubborn person in your life right now. They're kind of difficult, cantankerous. They're hard to love. How do you love them? Well, let's just start with kind of, what do we mean by stubborn? When we talk about stubborn, just a basic definition is that this is someone who has a dogged determination not to change one's attitude or position on something, especially in spite of good arguments or reasons to do so. So, modern English definition from Apple Dictionary of stubborn: dogged determination. They're stuck in their own opinion. They will not be reasoned with. Did your mom ever call you hard-headed? My mom called me hard-headed. Or thick-headed. And it's like this way of saying that you don't listen. You're not rebellious, but you just don't listen. You kind of do your own thing. We all have stubborn people in our life. And for some of us, that's in the work environment. Maybe you're the boss of that stubborn person. Maybe you have a boss who is stubborn. He or she just doesn't listen to you. They don't listen well to anybody. They're difficult. Maybe you have someone in your family that is stubborn. You're thinking of your third born right now, and they are stubborn, just your stubborn child, strong-willed, you might say. Maybe you have a parent that's stubborn, and if you're thinking in your family right now, like, hey, I don't have anybody that's really stubborn, then you're the stubborn one. Bum, bum, bum. Oh, your family walks into the room right now. We're here because we love you. Yeah, there is just this reality that in any of the spheres of your life, most likely you have someone that's difficult, someone that's stubborn. They're hard to break through. They're hard to reason with. They're hard to be around. And what about that person? What would the Bible call that, first of all? So if you have your scripture, let me show you a couple of things that the Bible would call that. You're not going to find the term stubborn used, but that concept is used throughout the scripture. So the first passage that I would show you is Romans chapter 12. This is where you have practical instructions. Remember, the first 11 chapters, very heavy on doctrine, 9 through 11, very heavy, heavy on doctrine. Those are some of the most difficult chapters of all of Paul's writing. And then chapter 12, you're seeing this transition to practical instruction. So let's do verse 15 and 16 for context. Verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, by being of the same mind toward one another, not being haughty in mind, but associating with the humble. Do not be wise in your own mind." That is what it looks like to be stubborn. You are wise. And where are you wise? Well, in your own mind, you're wise. Haughty. Where are you haughty in mind? Don't be haughty in your thinking. That idea of haughty thinking is high thinking. It's thinking highly of yourself. And he rebukes that earlier in the chapter. He says, don't think highly of yourself, verse 3. So in verse 16, don't be haughty in mind. That's arrogant. Some of your translations will actually say arrogant or haughty. You regard yourself as better. That's what stubbornness is fundamentally. You know better than they do. You've got it figured out. You don't need them to tell you. You don't need them to figure things out. That is stubbornness. Difficult, hard to work with, maybe stiff-necked, although stiff-necked in the Bible often refers to unrepentant. You're unrepentant. Stubborn, you're just hard to break through and reason with. All right, I think you also have Proverbs 18:2 with just more of a generic concept. Sometimes it's helpful to use generic concepts, but most of the time they're not extremely revelatory. So let me read for you Proverbs 18, verse 2. "A fool does not delight in discernment, but only in revealing his own heart." What is stubbornness? It's foolishness. You don't want to listen. You don't want to understand. You don't want to discern. All you want to do is express your own opinion. What's happening? Foolishness. You don't have to turn there, but one more example is James chapter 3, verse 14, where we have selfish ambition, where you're putting yourself, your own desires first. What is stubbornness? You're putting yourself and your own desires first. So when biblically you're trying to dissect what is stubbornness, it's something like haughtiness, arrogance. You're regarding yourself as better. It's selfish ambition. You're putting your desires first and foremost instead of others' desires. And you're acting like a fool, Proverbs 18:2. That's what a stubborn person is. They're a fool. They don't listen. They just want to express their own opinion. So what are the results of being stubborn? Well, you're a bad listener. You remember I did an episode on this just a few weeks ago. You're a bad listener, James 1:19 and 20. You're going to be quick to speak and slow to listen instead of quick to listen and slow to speak. Why? Because you don't really care what other people have to say. You know it already. You're better than they are. Like, who are they to tell you anything? Anyways, come on, back up. Get out of here. Well, that's what stubbornness will breed. It'll breed this contempt for advice and reproof and admonition. So you'll be a bad listener. You'll be inconsiderate and lack compassion toward others. Colossians 3:12 says, put on compassionate hearts. But instead of that, you're going to actually be inconsiderate. You're not going to care about how your actions are affecting others. That's this idea of consideration, compassion, and also kindness. Kindness, that you're considerate of other people. So when you're considerate, other people are not driving your decision-making. You're not a people pleaser, but you're thoughtful about the way that your actions are coming across to them. So if I drink the last gulp of milk and put the jug back in the fridge, that is an inconsiderate thing for me to do. Why? Well, I paid for the milk. Like, deal with it, family. Gluck, 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 gluck. That's the noise of me. You know, Jimmy doesn't even have to edit that. That's just a really good sound effect, isn't it? So this is the reality that I am putting my own interests first. So I'm going to be very inconsiderate towards you. Just do a lot of inconsiderate actions. That's stubbornness. And then lastly, I do want you to turn for this one, because this one will probably be unusual for you. Go to James chapter 3. If you're driving, say, hey Siri, go to James 3. Let's see what she does. Oh, I think my Siri just went off. Here we are. Okay, James 3. Look at something that's said here about wisdom from below. So if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not coming down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. Here it is. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every vile practice. One of the results of living out a life of selfish ambition, stubbornness, is that there will be disorder. Disorder is anarchy. You're creating a hostile environment. You're going to be combative. All of the people around you, you're going to begin to interpret as being enemies trying to attack you. What does that indicate about you? You are stubborn. You are stubborn. It's not the whole village is against you. You are the stubborn one, and you are not easy to reason with. So the result of selfish ambition is disorder. That's anarchy, chaos, total chaos, a combative environment. So what's the result of living a stubborn life? You're a bad listener. You're inconsiderate of others. You're combative. You'll create this chaotic, anarchist environment. That is the result of being a stubborn person. Everyone, you will interpret everyone to be against you, or the stubborn person sees everyone as against them. Why? Because they view themselves highest and their opinions highest and their way of doing things highest. So how do we start loving them? After all, that's really the focus of this episode. How do we start to love stubborn people? Well, the first place I would start is not with the stubborn person, but it's actually with understanding God and how He rules everything. The providence of God is the expression of His sovereignty. So sovereignty is an attribute, but providence, where He is governing all things according to His purposes. Colossians 1:17 says that Jesus is keeping the world going. He is sustaining all things. They exist through Him. That's providence. Providence is a theological term, and it's used to help describe God's governance, or John Piper would say His wise and purposeful sovereignty. In fact, he had that thick book on providence that you may have read. If you haven't listened to another fellow, his name is Dr. John Crotts. He has a podcast called Integrated. If you haven't listened to that yet, you got to check it out. He released a series or a podcast, might be the better way to say it, on providence. And he talks about how God directs all things. He uses an example of a fish. And when Jesus tells Peter to go get the fish, go fishing, get the shekel, then pay the tax, Dr. Krotz uses that as an example of God's providence. So that'd be a great way to go start. So where do you start? Understand that God, from the big picture, is governing everything. That means that he is orchestrating bringing stubborn people into my life. Seriously, if you believe in the providence of God, then you have to believe that stubborn people are not outside of God's providence. Well, everyone else who's kind to me is part of God's providence, but that jerk over there. No, we would say even stubborn people God has brought to your life. Why? Because he is ruling everything according to his purposes. The world and all the molecules of it are working towards God's end. So slap that on the label of stubborn people first. Consider the providence of God. So let's take a short break. I'm going to turn it over to Jimmy. When we come back, we're going to pick up with the providence of God, and we'll keep going.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment as he's been discussing loving stubborn people. And you know, it reminds me of an excellent resource that I want to share with you that's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. That's Stuart Scott's From Pride to Humility. It is really a powerful booklet that gets right to the heart of what we're talking about today. Dr. Scott gives an exhaustive list of pride and then shows what biblical humility looks like in practice. It's really helpful when dealing with stubborn people and when we need to check our own hearts. You can pick it up right now, From Pride to Humility by Dr. Stuart Scott, and it's available at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of hearts and transformation, do you want a TMU education condensed into two amazing days? Then I would highly recommend you register for the Think Biblically Conference. It's coming up February 14th and 15th in Southern California, hosted by the Masters University Center for Biblical Thinking, featuring a pretty good lineup of speakers, including the president of TMU, Dr. Abner Chow, and also Dwight Hamm, Grant Horner, Matthew Green, and others. If you're a young believer preparing for college or you know someone who is, I highly recommend you trying to attend the Think Biblically Conference going on at the Masters University in February. You can get details about the conference and at TMU in general right now at masters.edu/transformed. And also, if you haven't downloaded the Fortis Plus app just yet, it's completely free. 7 pieces of new audio and video content every single day. And if you sign up to become a Fortis Insider at fortisinstitute.org, you also get that exclusive daily content sent right to your email inbox every single day to help you navigate what's being posted every single day. fortisinstitute.org is where you can sign up to become a Fortis Insider. As we've been telling you at Fortis Institute, we're standing for strength and unwavering commitment to biblical truth. And all of the resources that we're making available free, again, might I add, we're doing it with the help of our gospel partners. And so if you would prayerfully consider also becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would greatly, greatly appreciate it. You can find out more about what that would look like in your life by heading over to fortisinstitute.org and reading all about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Now, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford as he continues to discuss dealing with stubborn people. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
We have a tendency to let our feelings be the engine that drives our lives. And when we do, despair is soon to follow.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, thank you, Jimmy. Welcome back. We've been talking about loving stubborn people. Maybe an in-law, maybe an adult child, maybe a boss, maybe an employee, maybe a customer. Who is that stubborn person in your life, and how has God called you to respond to them? What biblical fuel do you fill up with in order to be faithful in loving stubborn people? Well, I finished the last segment by saying you got to understand the providence of God. He's ruling everything and orchestrating everything. So he brought that stubborn person to your life and your job and your family. So providence means that we have a mindset of something like this. You ready for it? When the Lord crosses my path with that person, I am going to do good to them. Oh, that one stings a little bit. Let me read to you from Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Who are we doing good to? Everybody. In the army, they used to have this saying, la-di-da-di, everybody. Who do you do good to? Everybody. And you have a particular emphasis on the church. You're doing good to the household of faith. So when God crosses your path with that stubborn person, in his providence, he has brought that stubborn person to your life, and you have a responsibility to do good to them. Actually doing good. You're not avoiding them. You know what it's like in that nanosecond of a moment, you're in the grocery store, you see the stubborn person, and you're like, oh, I could pretend like I don't see them. La-di-da, look at the pears. They're so fresh. Oh, hello, stubborn person. In that moment, instead of avoiding them, pretending like you don't see them, recognize that God, in his providence, out of all of the places that you could have been shopping at that exact moment, out of all of those places, boom, you are there with that person that you're struggling to love. Isn't that God's providence? Don't you see that? That God had you at the grocery store with them? Don't you see that? I'll never forget, I had a let's just say an unresolved conflict in undergraduate. So I did one semester in Boston, and it was not a great experience. I transferred to Missouri, where I finished my undergraduate degree. While at that first semester in Boston, I had an unresolved conflict with one of the ladies and her group of friends. Oh yeah, of course. Early drama. Well, I left Boston just assuming that I would never see her again. And sure enough, lo and behold, when I got to Masters University, guess who was in the first class that I was taking? Bum, bum, bum. I walk in. My old enemy is waiting there. God in his providence, all the way from Boston to Los Angeles, was a lady that I had unresolved conflict with. So in God's providence, I said, you know what? I have to face this. God has put her in this class, or put me in this class with her, however you want to address that. And so we honestly were able to go and to talk and be pleasant toward each other. We didn't leave best friends, but yet we were still pleasant, and I did my best to do good. Like it was more freeing for me. Maybe she never thought anything about it, but it was actually more freeing for me. So when that happens to you, don't ignore that person. Don't avoid them. Don't pretend like you don't see them. All right, listen up to my Southerners out there, because inevitably some of you are Southerners listening to this. Don't get quiet. Some of you will get quiet and say, well, it's just, if I don't have anything good to say, it's like the old Bambi thumperism. If I don't have anything good to say, then I'm not going to say anything at all. Just give you the stink eye. Don't get quiet. The scripture actually says do good. And Romans 12:21 says overcome evil, not with quietness. I don't have anything good to say. Rather, don't overcome it with quietness and ignoring them. Overcome evil with good. Do good to that person that's stubborn, and the Lord has now crossed your path with them. So one of the things that I'm careful to do, and I would encourage you to be careful, is that whenever I'm interacting with a person that's just flat out stubborn and difficult, and I have a couple in my life, hello, pray for me, Lord, take the wheel, Jesus. There's a couple. When I'm interacting with them, I am not going to be dishonest about my deep appreciation for them. It's so good to see you. Yes, Lord, yes. That's not true, Lord, forgive me. I'm so thankful to see you. That's flattery, and I'm not attempting to be dishonest about that. I'm not trying to puff you up. So I'm going to say hello. I'm going to ask how things have been, but I'm not going to fabricate that I'm super grateful for you, because that's not true at this moment. I'm not going to fabricate that I'm so thankful that God and his providence had us shopping at the same place at the exact same moment. I just wanted to get some milk and leave. I'm just going to be truthful and kind and gracious. And when the conversation is over with, then we're going to say something like, okay, well, take care, or have a great day. And then boom, and then we leave. We don't have to flatter. We don't have to bless their heart. We don't have to fabricate these false terms for the sake of being polite. There is a level of dishonesty that comes with that. So when you're interacting with that difficult person, just say, okay, like, how are you? What's new in your life? What brings you to the grocery store today? You know, you're creating small talk. And then when you leave, you say, okay, well, take care. Have a great day. Boom. There it is. You've been pleasant, kind, considerate. You've done good, and you haven't given in to those intrusive thoughts of murder. Okay, next point. So first of all, God's providence crosses your path. Do good to them. Next point. You have to recognize in Ephesians 4:2 and Colossians 3:13 and 14 that you're to bear with one another. That is one of the one another's. Ooh, that's kind of confusing. One of the one another's. In the body of Christ, we have one another's that we as Christians are to practice to build up the body of Christ. So how do we grow into maturity to be like Jesus? That is through the one another's. One of the things that we're called to do is to bear with one another. Do you know what that idea of bearing with one another actually means? Well, there is an inconvenience that you're putting up with, you're dealing with, you're showing tolerance for. You have to put up with people in the body of Christ. And inevitably, if you're thinking about this well and humbly, people have to put up with us. I know there are people in this world that do not care for Greg Gifford. I know that. And sometimes they tell me that. So I know that. And I know they are the ones that have to bear with me. So where does this fit in stubborn people land? Well, it does mean that in the body of Christ, we have stubborn people that we're to bear with. And you're to show tolerance for, you're to put up with them, you deal with them to a certain degree. It's not always easy. They don't always listen. Sometimes they're emotional, they're crabby, they got an opinion on everything. And you're just saying something like, yeah, I get it. Like, I'm going to do my best to bear with you in a way that is loving. So when the Lord crosses your paths, you're doing good to them, not getting quiet, not avoiding them. And then you're going to learn this practice of in the body of Christ, Ephesians 4:2, Colossians 3:13, I bear with one another. I put up with, I show tolerance for. And when you're humble about it, you recognize that people have to bear with you. Last but not least, this is the deep end of the pool. God is using stubborn people in your life and in my life to help us become more like Jesus. That's hard to say. God uses stubborn people to help you depend on him more. James 1:2 is about trials, but trials are really just a pressured circumstance. In fact, people can create trials in your life. Difficult people, stubborn people, they create pressure. And that pressure is intended to create Christ-like character in our life. Do you see that stubborn person that way, that God is, in his grace, allowing you to be in their life so that you can be more like Jesus, that is using this pressure with that stubborn person to help you trust him more? We know that all circumstances are intended to bring about good. That's Romans 8:28. You've been hit with that one before, I'm sure. Not everything is good, but that God works good through all circumstances. In verse 29, that good is that you are more like Jesus. So then now connect the dots to the stubborn person. God is using that stubborn family member, boss, employee, neighbor, church member. God is using them to help you become more like Jesus. The product of your interaction with them is greater good. If you want to go as far as to say they're a thorn in your flesh, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Maybe they're like the whole bush. They're not even the thorn. They're the thorn bush. You fell into the bush. But in all honesty, God does say, hey, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, 2 Corinthians 12. So depend on me more. I will demonstrate my power in your weakness. And if you want to apply that in the context of difficult people, I'm okay with that. You're just going to be sensitive about the way that you would declare that. Like, hey, you're the thorn in my flesh and I'm dealing with you right now. When the Lord crosses your path with this person, my 2 cents is offer a prayer of thanksgiving to God for the opportunity to trust him more. Well, that's serious, isn't it? Lord, thank you. You're using this stubborn person to help me depend on you. You're using this stubborn person to help me trust you and be more like your son, Jesus. So thank you. Please help me to do that. Let that work have its effect in my life. So we got to be done for today. The key takeaway is when God brings a stubborn person, see his providence, do good, and bear with one another. God is trying to work his good plan of making you more like Jesus. So let me pray and we'll be done for today. Lord, this is a truth we all have to remind ourselves of, renew our mind with the fact that you are using stubborn people in our life to help us trust you more. Help us to be patient and loving and considerate. Help us ourselves to be mindful of not becoming stubborn, hard to deal with, hard to work with. Lord, give us grace to be people that are considerate, even-tempered, meek, to use the term in James, so that we could glorify you, do that well, and then bless others in our life, we ask. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.